This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
To wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Damn right it is. Let's go. Halfway home on a Thursday. Beautiful day in the Bay. Sun's out. Shining Joe Shasky. You look great in your leather Giants jacket today.
It's my dad's old one.
I love it. It looks good. That's such a dad jacket, too. The leather. I think Sam Lomond has like a brown one that he wears a lot, too. This peak dad mode whenever you have a leather jacket.
Me and Sam
out.
In the same sentence? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love
my
it.
My style's so much better than his.
Relax. You guys, come on. Carter's the one styling profile, and he's wearing like a mustard yellow shirt. He's got the sunglasses. He's got the glasses on that, like, he's not even prescription. He just wears glasses just to be cool. I'm wearing a Gap sweater, so we're very styling and profiling today. And good morning to all of you that are also styling and profiling, watching on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And by the way, Joe Shasky, I can't say this enough. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk righteously brewed in San Francisco. I always think of Crush, the turtle from Finding Nemo. Righteously brewed in San Francisco. Watching them.
They have a new
Warriors
beer, by the way.
Oh, wait, whoa.
It's called Willie Mays, M-A-Z-E.
Oh. Okay.
It looks delicious.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm gonna have to hit up Sam and gonna go, you know, check that out.
Sam Gadiri, shout out him.
Follow them on Instagram.
Absolutely. And if you're not following us on Instagram, what are you doing? At 95.7 The Game.
At ButcherBoy 405.
At Broso Spadosa for me as well. If you just want to see me and young Benjamin and baby Nora just playing at the park. By the way, I've been at the parks lately, you know, East Oakland. There's like these different like nanny cliques that just like take over the parks, Joe Shasky. I don't know if they do this in the city, but like, I swear, like, this is a big park we go to. And there's like different like sections of nannies that bring like the 2 to 3 year olds or the 1 year olds, and they have like tents. Like, they bring tents to the park.
So there's a tent city?
Kinda. Just for the nannies for a couple hours.
Do we need
hours.
To get the homeless commission out there?
No, it's insane. But they have, like, different quadrants of the park, and they take over these sports. I was like, I was like, what are we doing here? Are we having like picnics? Like all like every single day. I swear to God. And it's just, I think it's just hilarious that they do this. They have these different nanny cliques. It's the nanny cartel, I'm calling
it. It's kind of like the Warriors.
Kind of.
For many years, they had their own little clique. It was the vets and then the young guys.
And now we're trying to bring them together. By the way, Dave Fleming going to be joining us at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Dave Fleming, obviously voice of the San Francisco Giants. I want to get a pulse of this Giants team because it's all been quiet on the Western Front, if you will. I know you like those references. It has been quiet with the Giants, a little too quiet. I want to get a little pulse from them, from Dave Fleming, who, by the way, is going to be joining us every single week during this baseball season. Also, March Madness, round of 64, starting today. Get Dave's thoughts on all of that, because he is locked in on all things college basketball. We've been talking Niners, but as you just alluded to, the Golden State Warriors are the talk of the town right now. Jonathan Kuminga, we were just talking about what makes him so polarizing to the fan base, and 888-957-9570. We can continue that conversation, but I think you brought it up best, Joe Shasky, and we were talking about it off air. It all goes back to patience. The word patience, and you're learning this as a father. And you're going to be preaching patience to young LJ going on for the rest of his life, probably. Because that's all it is. Like, you're 18, 19, 15, 12, 10, whatever it is. Hell, you're 40 years old. Patience level is still hard for us to this day, Joe Shasky. And it's even more difficult to sell patience with the fan base. I think we've been selling patience to the Warriors fans for what? 2 years now? Definitely last year. We were preaching patience all summer long. When it came to Lauri Markkanen, when it came to Paul George, just patience, be patient. You know what? You might not be a championship contender. Just wait. Well, it's hard to wait when the best player on your team is getting older. He's 37 years old. There's no time to wait anymore. Jimmy Butler is over 35. Draymond Green is over 35. Steve Kerr is getting older. Like, the window is now. So patience is what it comes back to. And I don't know if fans can be patient with Jonathan Kuminga anymore. I don't know if they can be.
But what I don't understand why it's such a severe, a reaction when he makes a mistake on defense or misses a shot on offense. How is that exclusive to just him? Why does he represent so much to so many people in terms of, like, is it lack of, like, his promise?
Yes.
He's shown so much promise.
Yes.
Is it that he represents, like, a young player who could be taking the spot of a veteran who might be able to help them a little more? Like, how many veterans have they had who aren't that good that they've brought in here?
A lot.
A lot.
Yes.
A lot. There's many more Kelly Oubre types that people are afraid to talk about than there are even Otto Porter Jr. Like, Otto Porter Jr. was everyone loved him. He had a 2.5 month stretch that was atrocious.
Awful.
Like, atrocious. And I liked him.
Yeah.
He never got even remotely the amount of criticism and hate. Now, look, there's an element of he's on a 1 year deal and he was on a mid contract or whatever. Jonathan Kuminga wants over $35 million. Well, A, we don't know that. Yeah. We don't know exactly what he wants. And B, he hasn't signed that deal just yet. There's a lot of bad deals that are all across the league. And I don't know. I feel like there's so much back into it. Is it the Steph Curry element? How much of this is about Steph Curry? Meaning how you view Jonathan Kuminga is through the prism of, can he help Steph Curry immediately right now or not?
It's kind of like the LeBron.
That's so unfair.
That's the LeBron thing, though, right? Like, can this guy help me? Right? Andrew Wiggins? Nope. See you later. Bring in Kevin Love. Like, is that where we're at already with Jonathan Kuminga? Has he built up any equity with Golden State Warriors
fans? Why can't he? He's been here for 4 years.
Well,
and I feel like he's been a great player.
A question.
For them. Like, for the most part. Like, when called upon, I think he's been more good than bad.
I question how much he's ingratiated himself into this team. Like, is JK like a beloved figure with the Golden State Warriors fan base?
I think when JK does stuff, the arena really comes to life when he plays well. I do think that they come to life. I think a lot of Warrior fans are pulling for him. I think there's also a huge segment of Warrior fans that have zero tolerance for any of his mistakes.
I think that voice, and maybe I'm too much on social media, and that's probably part of it. Right, I'm hearing a lot. I hear a lot of negativity because that's just what we hear in today's mediums. And maybe that is outweighing a lot in my mind that I hear more negativity than positivity when it comes to one Jonathan Kuminga, because he does a lot of things that no one else on the team can do. He does some things that are athletically like, wow, like that is like a top five dunk in the moment kind of a year. Like, he does that occasionally. Well, it's like, okay, but I guess I'm questioning the patience level from the fan base when it comes to this kid. Because, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's me. I just called him a kid. He's 22 years old. He's been around for a couple years now. So maybe that's my own bias coming into this, where it's just like, no, Joe, maybe you need to start thinking to yourself, like, he's been here for a couple of years now, and when is the consistency level going to be there? I would push back and say to that, like, this is a whole new team, basically. I look at this team as a whole new team since he's joined, and he's had four games here. Let's give him some benefit of the doubt. Now,
well, can I jump in there?
Real quick. Come playoff time, though, Joe Shasky, if there's still going to be this inconsistency and it doesn't look good, then I understand the fan base's frustration, because the window is now for this team. The window is right now, this year and next year.
Yeah, but like, he helped you get into the play-in and into the playoffs 2 years in a row, only to get put on ice in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So put yourself in his shoes. Hey, I helped get us here.
Well,
look, no, time out. Like, I helped us get us here. I get a player wanting to go in the game because he thinks he can contribute. And then if you go back to that playing game last year against the Kings, the three consecutive baskets he made were the most exciting part of that game.
Well, that was standing the year prior when they actually went to the playoffs. Like, he didn't play very well in that Kings series.
But for the 2.5 months that Wiggins was out, he was dynamic. He helped put you in a position to make the playoffs.
Head coach didn't trust him, though. Why?
Well, I think that a guy came back.
That signaled something to the fan base, though.
And then they traded for GP2, who was hurt. And then he came back and healthy, and he jumped him in the rotation. So, like, a player being frustrated with playing time is not exclusive to Jonathan Kuminga. Like, let me ask this. Michael Porter Jr. Do you think Michael Porter Jr. is this lightning rod for the Denver Nuggets?
No. No.
You know how much money he makes?
A lot.
$37 million a year. Look, yeah. You're shaking your head, right? But is it a referendum when he is a turnstile on defense every possession, and he's bombs away and doesn't pass at all, and he only averages a couple of more points than what Kuminga's averaged the last couple of years, and he's making $37, $38 million a year?
The difference is, though, he was a starter on a championship team. Kuminga wasn't. He wasn't part of that championship.
He wasn't afforded that opportunity.
No, he wasn't. But you're doing the comparison. I'm just telling you the difference. Michael Porter Jr. was a start. Like, the same way we view Andrew Wiggins, all the guys started as a championship player. He's a championship player. Like, that's how Denver
Jonathan
Nuggets
Kuminga
fans.
Would
that's
give
how
you
Denver
better
Nuggets,
numbers than Michael Porter Jr. offensively.
That's fine.
In terms of points per game and effective field goal percentage. And that's the price point for these players nowadays.
I'm just telling you that there's some built-up equity within a fan base when you are a starter and you won a championship.
But he was hurt for multiple years, too.
Like, I understand.
He also represents missed promise, Michael Porter Jr. And he's part of why they couldn't afford other championship pieces on that team. And I just don't see people on a possession-by-possession basis nitpicking his game that way. The Warrior fans nitpick his game, good or bad, to the extremes.
We got some callers that want to join in the Kuminga conversation. Joe Shasky, let's go to them. 888-957-9570. Why is Jonathan Kuminga. Why is he so
Jonathan
polarizing?
Kuminga.
Not Kuminga. I do appreciate that guy, though. Where is that? What's his name? I want him calling back. It's one of the. I think he's from like Virginia. Casey's in Marin, though. That's two callers in Marin thus far. What's up, Casey? What you got on Kuminga?
Gentlemen, good morning. The thing I have about Kuminga, and let's start first, money is arbitrary in the NBA and professional sports. Mm. So average, below average players are getting paid immense amounts of money.
Yep.
The problem I have with Kuminga is he's not really great at anything. He's not a great passer. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great off-the-ball scorer, help defender. He's a good jumper and a sometimes good finisher. And I compare this to San Francisco Bay Area fans and the Giants when they have so much love for Brandon Belt, and he's going to have such a great year next year, and it just keeps going and going and going. Kuminga was drafted to the wrong team. He never should have been on the Warriors. They should have traded the pick for somebody more veteran who could have helped them and their system. One thing I do trust is Steve's Kerr evaluation of talent for the offense that he's running. Kerr doesn't really like to play him, and he's having to play him now. I hope they don't pay him. I hope they can get an immense return for him, a la Harden when he was with Oklahoma City. But he's an average NBA player who can get on some highlights because of his jumping ability.
So you brought up like five different things there. And one of them that I don't think,
thanks,
again,
Casey.
Like we talk about these trades, like you should have traded him for a veteran. Before the pick was executed.
Did he just say you can trade him for a Harden type package from like Oklahoma City? Like what are we doing here?
You have to match money.
Harden was a sixth man of the year.
Picks don't, just trading future picks doesn't match up money. So if everyone wanted to keep all their favorite players a couple of years ago, right, Even if you stapled just the picks, you would have had to add players to get the said veterans, okay? Like, and then once he's drafted, he's making $8 million a year. Go around the league and you show me the $8 million.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
$1 a year difference makers.
That's a good point. There's not a lot of them.
I've done the exercise year after year after year. Actually, if you look at bang for the buck, you're actually making, he's made good bang for the buck, and he's produced for you. If you look relative to the financial money that you've allotted to him, he wasn't getting you some Pascal Siakam who you had to pay $40 million a year for. You had to staple other things to it to be able to get those players. So it really bugs me when people bring up you should have traded him for a veteran. All right, who? And at what price point? And then what other player that you like were you going to add to that package to make it equal?
It's not a like-for-like thing, right? Like the Jimmy Butler thing where you got rid of him for an Andrew Wiggins and a first-round pick.
And Kyle Anderson. You had to throw in a bunch of things.
And it was a big-team deal. Schroeder, yeah. There was a bunch in there. Like that just doesn't happen easily. Like things like this, and you know, we make fun of the trades are hard thing. Trades are hard.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it takes two to tango. We were talking about the NFL draft.
Trades are hard.
It's thank you, Joe.
Like, in the NBA, they're ridiculous.
They're very hard. We were talking about the NFL draft. It's even hard just to trade back a couple picks. Like, someone has to call up for you to say, like, hey, like, you know, I'm thinking about drafting. You want to draft this? Or, like, you're thinking about that? Like, there's so much baked into it. That's why I love, like, the behind enemy lines or, like, when they go to the war room. Mm-hmm. Like, I love watching those, like, the Arizona Cardinals do it or, like, the Howie Roseman doing it over with the Philadelphia. I love seeing the insides out and out when it comes to that stuff. By the way, quarterback doc. You see that real quick? Quarterback doc, Netflix. I'm excited. Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, And Kirk Cousins back for quarterback
like
season
that?
Two.
Like
we'll get to that another point today. Also, NFL rule changes potentially coming up in the next hour. But right now, we're focused on NBA. Just want to get that real quick. Dennis is in San Francisco. We're talking Jonathan Kuminga and what makes him so polarizing.
Hi, Dennis.
We're asking the fan base, Dennis, what's up with JK? Why is he so polarizing?
I love JK. And I don't know why you seem to be down on him, Spinone. I don't understand it. I understand that people were nervous about him coming back after missing 31 games and upsetting the apple cart. You were mentioning that before he came back. You were worried about him coming back. Now, I don't know how you could worry about somebody who can possibly be an asset. And we all know how he was playing when he got a chance to play. I have a problem with Steve Kerr. I think Steve Kerr's a great coach, but at the same time, if I was Moody and Kuminga, I would have told my agent to get me the hell out of here a long time ago, because he wasn't playing them. He wasn't playing them even when they were playing well. When Kuminga was a rookie, I remember one game, they were in Miami, and they sent Wiggins and Steph and Draymond and whoever and Clay. Clay was back at that time in 2022. And they sent them all up to New York. I think they were playing the Nets after Miami. And the only two guys, the guys on the court, and they beat Miami. They beat Miami with Jordan Poole, who scored 32 points, and Jonathan Kuminga scored 25. You can look it up.
I remember
that. I thought they were the two best players on the floor at the time. But Kuminga can sometimes just be inconsistent. But what my eyes are looking at, when that kid gets a chance to play and play consistently, he gets better.
Before he got hurt,
he was playing better.
He was the second best player on the team.
Thanks, Dennis.
An argument to be made.
Thank you,
second best player on the team.
Well, I don't know why he was coming at me there. I've been saying preach patience with Jonathan Kuminga all morning.
Okay.
I said it's his fourth game. Let's all relax. But we're presenting both sides to this, because there is part of the fan base, and I think this goes back to the P word, patience. There's the patience levels run out with Jonathan Kuminga for a lot of the fan base, because they finally have been tasting, you know, championship type of basketball. They feel is a championship level type of basketball team the last month and a half or so. Since the Jimmy Butler acquisition, they've only lost two games when Jimmy Butler is suited up as a Golden State Warrior. Like, they're feeling it now. And if Jonathan Kuminga is going to continue to be inconsistent for them going forward, they're going to crush him.
Well, and
just like they're crushing Buddy Hield, because who has a good games and he has a couple bad ones.
But going back to, you know, playing time and earning and this, when he's been afforded the opportunities, he has earned it.
Yeah.
But what has happened is guys return back from injuries and because of equity with the coach, he gets knocked out in the pecking order. And I think it's really difficult to find your footing when you go from playing 28 minutes a night down to 19. And the combinations that you play with when you're not a ball handler really matter. They really do matter. And I a lot of this that we're afraid to touch is like, yeah, Wiggins came back and he wasn't as good as he was in 2022. And I get why they rolled with him, because you won a championship with him. But he's not a playmaker and he doesn't pass the ball. And he stood out on the three-point line. And so playing Kuminga alongside Wiggins at times was very, very clunky. That's baked into it. And then GP2 is a guy that is very trusted, not just by the veteran players, but by the veteran head coach. And I get it. But at the same time, Kuminga brings stuff to the table, and he got kind of put on ice. So I get his frustration. But I also see both sides of the coin, and I see where Kerr's coming from. He's 22. You know, like, I come back to that, and this is where I get back to the happy middle ground. There is none in the Kuminga conversation. Has anyone who's called in to support Kuminga said superstar?
No.
Has anyone even said the word all-star?
No.
No. But we think he could be a really important player and a good player and good bang for the buck. And maybe down the line, he becomes more than that. But for now, he's a guy you're gonna need. But people talk about him like he's useless, like he shouldn't be playing. And I think that's also egregious.
Franz Wagner is a guy that was drafted right after Jonathan Kuminga, the 8th overall pick back in the 2021 NBA draft. Went to the Orlando Magic. And he's... I think if you pulled a lot of people, if you pulled a lot of Warriors fans, who would you rather have? I think a lot of them would take Franz Wagner over him.
But he's been afforded, and I did the minute allocation, twice as many minutes in his NBA career, and he plays on a team where he gets to be one of the primary ball handlers.
And you'd think, after all that, he was an all-star. He's no all-star.
No, but he's a really good player.
He's a good player.
But he's gotten an opportunity to play twice as many career minutes as both Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. And then on this team, we know Draymond Green is going to handle the ball. Yep. All right. What would it have looked like for Franz Wagner on a team with Jordan Poole or CP3, pick either one, Steph Curry, mm-hmm. and Draymond Green all handling the ball? Would he be as effective and have the ball in his hand as much? Probably not.
Probably not. He's not a three-point shooter. So there's a lot baked into that. And I agree with you.
I like him. I would love him on my team. I'm saying, would he have developed the same way? No.
I do think as well, he wouldn't have. We're underselling how difficult it is to play in this system.
Yes.
Like Dennis Schroeder, who's played on a bajillion teams and who's looked like pretty solid on a lot of teams.
Another ball-dominant player.
Who got to this team and was just lost immediately. It didn't work. It didn't fit at all. At all.
Kuminga has fit more than Dennis Schroeder.
Yes. And that's a testament to him and a testament, again, Steve Kerr, the coaching staff, and some of these older players. And I do love what I hear from Draymond and Jimmy and Steph when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, and just continuing to tell him to play your own game and it'll work out. They haven't really played together, Jimmy and JK on the floor together. Will we see that at some point going forward? Maybe. We got a couple calls here before we get to Dave Fleming at the top of the Let's rat-a-tat-tat-em. Let's go to Trevor in Rohnert Park, wants to join the conversation on Jonathan Kuminga. What's up, Trev? You're on with Spadoni and Chiasky.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Trevor, Sideline Bay Area Sports Podcast. Wanted to give my two cents about this. Now, I don't think that it's really the play that is putting fans off a little bit about Jonathan Kuminga, although the inconsistencies are there. He is young, and unfortunately, whether it's fair or not, he's going to be judged. And the NBA isn't about fair. It's about winning, especially with this team now. They still have Curry, so they're going to be in that win mode now, trying to find the right rotation. So it's not always fair, but his production is not really there. I think what puts fans off is that when they hear that number that he's asking for, and we don't know, I heard you guys earlier, we don't know what that number truly really is. It's just being reported. And when he's asking for that kind of money, you want to give that money to somebody who's earned it, right? And I personally don't feel like he's earned it yet. Now, it may not be fair that he's taken in and out of the lineup a little bit too much. And I know Kerr likes to mess around with the lineup more than most people like, me included. But at the end of the day, if you haven't earned that paycheck to that extent, it's very hard for fans to get behind a player like that. But Jonathan Kuminga, for sure, is a player that can be a very good, supportive 2-3 man in any team. I'm not sure how well he fits in with Kerr's offense also. I've talked about that a little bit on my podcast. Awesome. I think he'd be great on a lot of teams. Maybe he does fit in this offense.
Can I ask you this question? Did Jordan Poole earn his contract before he got it?
No, and I didn't agree with it either. So we don't always have to agree with everything they get. I think Jordan Poole got that contract for a lot of different reasons, PR reasons, probably.
In a world where Emmanuel Quickley is getting $36 million a year, yeah, Emmanuel Quickley, you don't think Jordan Poole earned that contract?
Yeah.
Tyler Hero and Jordan Poole and Tyrese Maxey all got the same deal around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now Maxey's been able to play and be really good. And Tyler Hero's been really up and down.
Yeah.
Really up and down. Extreme highs and extreme lows. Got benched at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. This is the market. I don't love it. It's crazy numbers. They're astronomical. But that's kind of the going rate for players in these categories.
Real quick on Jordan Poole. He's averaging 20 points this season on 42% shooting. He had, yesterday against the Jazz, 2 points, 1 of 11, 0 of 9 from beyond the arc.
That's
a horrible performance. So I just had to look at it up. I love Jordan Poole, too. And he's had some big shots. He had a big shot over the weekend. But I hear you, Joe Chiasky, on the comp there, because I think we're jaded a lot when it comes to paying these young players, that we just think they don't deserve this. So I was like, no, well, the market dictates everything. We talk about in the NFL all the time.
Google Kelly Oubre's contract currently.
Exactly. It is what it is when it comes to the NBA.
Miles Bridges. You know, there's a zillion guys. Just go around the league. There are a zillion guys making crazy numbers that you are unaware of.
Let's talk to Dave Fleming about it coming up next. We're going to talk some Giants. We're going to talk some March Madness. We can talk some Warriors with him on. I actually am curious to hear what Dave has to say about the Jimmy Butler acquisition as well and how it's changed the forecast of this team. AJ, BPA, Leroy in Oakland. We'll get to you on the other side as well. You can hang tight through the interview or give us a call back. That's what's coming next. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types, welcome.
This is Big Pun from Shaw City. You're now listening to Original Joe and the one and only Butcher Boy Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go.
Have you ever been there?
No. Is it good?
Well, there's one in North Beach.
You and Bonte talk about it all the time.
Well, the Dugan families are they're the best. They're the absolute best. And
they own it, I'm assuming, the Dugan
yes,
family. Okay.
And they've got a whole conglomerate of restaurants, if you will.
Okay.
There's Little Joe's on West Portal, which is like to go. It's the pizzas. They're unbelievable. And then there's, I'm doing like a read here. Then there's like Elena's,
right,
which is their Mexican food place, which is awesome. My grandfather loves that place.
Totally.
Margaritas go off there.
Okay.
One of the cooler bars. And you got the Daly City location and the North Beach location.
Okay.
I eat there 1 to 2 times a week.
That's
I
incredible.
Hate to say out loud.
Wow. You know where I go 1 to 2 times a week? It's Laughing Monk. That's where I go. Sunnyvale, San Francisco.
Look at you.
We're coming at you live from the Laughing Monk studios, baby. Hey, AJ in LA. BPA, Leroy, I see all you guys. Hang tight. I promise we will get to you. And if I don't get to you after Dave Fleming, please call back. But I promise I will get to you.
Yeah, because there's a text that came in.
Yes.
And I want to read it. And I want to say how absurd that text is out loud.
And I kind of want to get into it with Dave Fleming here as Dave Fleming joins us on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Dave Fleming, our Giants insider, Giants broadcaster, one of our favorites. Hey, Dave, so happy we get to do this again this season. Good morning to you. And good morning. Officially, it's tourney time is finally here. Round of 64 starts today. I know you're fired up for that. Giants, regular season, I know it technically started, but opening day really for around the league, starting pretty soon here. But good morning to you. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great. I was trying to explain to my son this morning when we were getting ready for him to go to school that on this day, when I was his age, with no phones, with no internet, I mean, it makes me sound so old. but, you know, I mean, college basketball was, it's still big. College basketball was huge when I was a high school kid. And especially the age that I am, you know, when I was in high school, Christian Laettner, Alonzo Mourning, I mean, like the big stars of college hoops. And we would sneak a little, like the kind of TV that you'd bring to Candlestick for a Niners game with an antenna, like to watch another game in the parking lot or something with some batteries. We would bring that to school on this day because we just so wanted to watch the first, you know, at noon Eastern when the thing would come on and the music would play. And the first game would tip, we would find a corner in school and watch the first game. That's how big college hoops was when I was his age.
All right, so who do you got winning it all? Let's hear it, Dave. Nobody knows the game better than you. I'm putting you putting you on the spot.
I got Duke winning it all.
Oh, nice
I think
too.
Duke is. I think they're the best team. You know, obviously that's health dependent. I think there are about 5 or 6 teams that I really can see winning it. So it's definitely, you know, it's a 6-game tournament. So even a heavy favorite still has a real chance to lose. But I think Duke is the best team. If Flag is healthy and ready to go full bore for the second weekend, Duke will not have a problem getting to the second weekend, even if he doesn't play at all. So I think they're the best team. You know, I have never been a huge Duke fan, but I find this Duke team a lot more likable than usual. And I think a lot of it is Flag. He's just a super fun player to watch. And seems like a great kid. That's my pick to win it all.
I know, I love that. And I think Cooper Flagg's a good jumping off point. Yeah. We were having a conversation about young players and how polarizing they can be. And, you know, Jonathan Kuminga on the Warriors, for example, some people are like, oh my God, superstar potential. Other people, he's not even an NBA player. It's like, well, there's a happy medium here where he could be a really good rotation piece for the time being, and we'll see what he ends up becoming. Cooper Flagg for some team is going to represent like, oh my God, he could save the franchise. And I've seen it with like Brandon Belt is a great example. So polarizing. It's like, guys, he's an above average good first baseman. No one's saying he's Willie McCovey, and no one's saying that he's a triple A player. I've seen this with Marco Luciano, for example. He can't play baseball at all. It's like, all right, well, like, pump the brakes here. He's also not the savior of the organization. Why are some guys so polarizing from your vantage point when it comes to the fans? Like, what is it about certain players that there's either zero tolerance or an inflated sense of who they are as a player? Why is it so polarizing for some guys?
Yeah, hard question to answer. I mean, it is probably different case to case, but I think it's definitely true that it happens. I think, you know, the main thing I think is that young players are so fun to dream about. You know, you see a kid, I remember watching Marco Luciano, you know, like a clip from A-Ball of him smoking a home run and thinking, oh my God, look at that. Look at that kid. He's 18 years old. You know, and so then your mind starts to think what he can be. And you almost always, in almost every instance with something like that, or Kuminga, I think is a good example, like you go to the best case scenario immediately. Like, so your brain immediately thinks, well, there's your next guy. There's your next NBA title winner, Jonathan Kuminga. He's our next guy. And then if it doesn't happen, which it almost never does, like the best case scenario almost never happens for even the best athletes in the world, then you just inevitably are disappointed. And then that creates, you know, that creates a feeling of this guy did not maximize. And the reality is not that. So I do think there's just a psychology of young guys are so enticing to dream about the future. And you just have to always temper. With all of them, almost none of them are going to become Buster Posey or Steph Curry or, even Brock Purdy, yeah. Certainly Lincecum. So you just have to keep telling yourself that so you don't face the disappointment. You don't start to hold it against these guys that they're good but not great or great but not all-time great, because that's no fun. You want to be a fan of your guys. But it's easy to have happen. It's really easy.
No, it's a good point. We're talking to Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster, and our Giants insider for 95.7 The Game. He's going to be joining us all season long. Can't wait. A week away, Joe Shasky,
so
from opening day in Cincinnati. And Dave, you bring it right there. You know, the expectations for young players these days, you know, just coming straight out of high school or college, it's pretty insane, and social media is a big part of that. NIL, everything's baked into it now. And just, you know, fast forward now to spring training, you know, Bryce Eldridge is the guy, right? Everyone's just a big Bryce. The guy's just a physical specimen. He's huge. He hits the long ball. Like, he's the talk of spring training. He was the talk of spring training. I think of some of the young guys, you know, Kyle Harrison. There was a lot of hype involved in Kyle Harrison last year. You know, he started out strong at times and he showed some flashes, but, you know, up and down in a rookie season, a full rookie year for him, obviously. What's jumped out to you in spring training thus far, Dave? Just, you know, talking to players covering this team, because, you know, it's interesting, right? Because you have a lot of young players to be excited about. And then you've got, oh, by the way, old man Justin Verlander, oldest player
in
Major League Baseball, looking pretty good, right? So there's a lot built in with the team. Willie Adames, obviously the highest paid player in Giants history. You're bringing him over. A lot of swag, a lot of power, excitement, the glove, all of that. So I say all that to say, what's jumped out to you most in spring training thus far, Dave?
I would say the thing that's jumped out the most is the starting pitcher group. That's what's jumped out the most. And Verlander's a part of that, and the young guys are part of that. So it is kind of a cool contrast with them. So I think that that's what, to me, has stood out, and what people are watching down there have talked to me about. Like, they are buzzing about the starting pitching group. Now, that's not to say that that's a guarantee.
that it'll, you know, when the season starts, that it'll be the best starting rotation in baseball. But that's what has stood out to me. And it's Verlander on the one hand, like, oh my gosh, the Giants might have gotten the real Justin Verlander, which if they did, is a game changer for this team. Like, I mean, that's not, he's not going to win the MVP this year, I don't think. But if he's even close to the best version of himself, even at age 42 or whatever he is now, I mean, he's got a chance to have a really good year, and that's pretty fun. Like, it's going to be fun to watch him. Mm-hmm. just a genius at what he's done for a long time in a Giants uniform late in his career. It's going to be fun to watch him try to figure this out. And you can just even dream about Verlander if he's having a good year, and how does he face against the fare against the Dodgers and that lineup, and can the old guy kind of figure his way through that team? I mean, that sounds fun to me. But the other thing, it's not just Verlander. I mean, Robbie Ray's part of it. Robbie Ray's had a good camp and is a guy with a really high ceiling, so the best version of Robbie Ray could be really good. But I think it's also been Birdsong and Roop and others. I mean, there are others. Kyle Harrison took a nice step forward recently, but both those guys. I was down there the other day, and somebody pulled me aside and goes, "This guy Birdsong, the way he's looked, it's like he's making the decision. Like you can't send him to the minor leagues." So that's a good problem to have. They have probably too many guys. But I think that's the upside for this Giants team. The upside for the Giants is if those guys have good years, not all of them, but some of them, then the Giants can feel like, hey, we got a really good pitching staff and we can win games that way.
You bring up Hayden Birdsong. That, I mean, again, I've only seen a couple of games on TV, right? And congratulations on your new contract extension. I wanted to say that on behalf of
of
us. That's awesome. And everybody at 95.7 The Game. You know, like, it's not Giants baseball without you, and I'm really happy for you and your family. But watching Birdsong the other day, I mean, the ball just flies out of his arm, and it's got the downward movement. He's got command of multiple pitches. He throws a heavy ball. That's kind of a thing in baseball. It's hard to explain. He doesn't get barreled up. I love this kid. I think he's got, like, lights out potential, and I don't say that flippantly.
No, Dave, he literally talks about Hayden Birdsong every single day at the station to me.
I think he's special. And the way we talked about Harrison a couple of years ago, I think Hayden Birdsong is flying under the radar right now. I think he's special. I really do, Dave.
I do, too. I do. I will say this. You know, I had a conversation last year with Patrick Bailey, and Patrick was not dogging his guy. He loves Birdsong. He thinks Birdsong can be great. But I said something to him about like that, like, oh, my God, this guy, I had no idea. And he just tempered it a little bit. He was like, yeah, he's got some stuff still to work on. Like, he's still, and, you know, he had dominated the Rockies a couple times. And I think Patrick proved correct. Like, we saw him finish the year with more. Now, he had that amazing start at the very end of the year, where he struck out almost every guy that he faced in his last start. But, you know, it wasn't a totally smooth path for Birdsong after the incredible first couple starts. And I think what Bailey was saying, and at the end of the year, if you look back on it, the numbers against his fastball were ugly. Like, guys hit his fastball. And so I think when you're watching him this year, that's what to watch for. Like, and it's, we know he's got explosive velocity. The guy makes it look easy. He's throwing 98, and it looks easy. And that's a gift. Like, he's got a true gift of just that arm talent is awesome. And it's what makes him so fun to think about what he could become. I'm with you. I think he can become a upper echelon guy. And Verlander is a great role model for him. There are similarities between those two, body type and arm slot and stuff. And there are some similarities. So I think Verlander's great for Birdsong to have around. But I'm going to be – the thing I'll be watching is early in the year, did he make enough adjustment? His project for the offseason was – try to, whether it's with the technology and adjusting your grip a little bit, or just, you know, focusing more on command as opposed to velocity, or whatever it is for him. Can that fastball be an effective pitch? Because the other stuff, nobody could hit the other stuff. And you don't have to blow everybody. You don't have to be Nolan Ryan. You don't have to blow everybody away with your fastball. You just can't let that be your weakness. And if he solves that problem, look out. I mean, I really think he can be one of the top guys in the league.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Chasky. And Dave, we opened up this conversation with talking about polarizing players, right? I think a guy that absolutely has a chance to be very polarizing one way or the other this year is Jung-Hoo Lee. I mean, the guy has a flair for the dramatic, whether it's good or bad at times. We didn't really get to see a lot of him last year, obviously, dealing with an injury and being out for most of the season. But, you know, I'm hoping this back injury is just that, what they said. We just slept wrong, and they don't think it's too serious. So hoping there that everything's okay. But what can we expect out of Jung-Hoo Lee this season? A guy that the Giants signed to some big money. And like I said, he shows flashes of, wow, he can be really fun, but also he does some of the other stuff last year, whether he was getting picked off at first base. It looked like an adventure out in center field at times. So what are the expectations for you this season when it comes to one Jung-Hoo Lee, Dave?
Yeah, I unfortunately, I think this year is what last year should have been for him. Like, there's still learning for him to do. He is a very talented player. And I was really impressed last year with his just raw ability. He's got way more tools and athleticism than I think if you read what people were saying about him who had scouted him when the Giants first signed him, it was kind of a mixed bag. Like, oh, he's great, great player, but will he be overwhelmed physically in the big leagues? And I don't think so at all. This guy is built to physically handle a major league season. I think that is not going to be a problem for him. He's got the strength level. He's got the quick twitch, the tools that, you know, to use just the old scouting term, to be a really good player. The problem is he missed so many reps last year that I do still think there's going to be a period of adjustment where he's learning pitching at this level. He's learning individual pitchers, seeing them for the first time. Once he gets through that, I think he can be a really good player. And I think he's probably the most important player for the Giants this year in terms of their team upside. I mean, I think if he plays well, the Giants can be a playoff team and maybe even aspire to be more than that. And if he struggles, then the position group is not so deep that, you know, it's going to be hard for them to overcome that. So we'll see. I can't wait to watch him. He's super fun to watch play. High energy guy. You know, I think his defense is going to be good. I know you're right. There were a few kind of squirrely moments as he'd never played in outdoor stadiums. You know, almost every stadium that he played in Korea was a dome. Not exclusively, but he said he struggled at times with sun, with wind, just because he hasn't done that since he was like a kid. And so I think little weird things like that, like he probably needs just some more reps, but I think he's going to be really good.
So you're saying that me and him should grab a bucket of balls, a fungo, and head out to West Sunset on a windy afternoon, and I should just lace some to him, huh?
Yeah, except for the sun part.
That is true. That is definitely true.
If you bring your heavy jacket and get out there and learn how to catch a ball in the wind, yeah, I think you should.
I want to bring up, because I'm going to text you at some point about this Rintaro Sasaki kid, the Japanese player for Stanford, but today's not the day. Today's not the day. Last year, I asked you a similar question, and we know, like, hey, every team wants to win the championship, but along the way, there's levels to successes. And as the season went on last year, you said, hey, we feel like the organization thinks that you got to make the playoffs, that was what they determined success or failure. What do you think success or failure would be this year if you had to have a litmus test?
Yeah, to me, the litmus test this year is about, this is not to say, I mean, Buster Posey wants to be in the playoffs, like, Bob Melvin wants to be in the playoffs. These are not guys who signed up for or are planning for, you know, just like, let's roll the balls out there and have some fun. Like, that's not what those guys are about. But to me, success this year means that going into next year, you've got two or three of those young pitchers, including maybe Carson Wisenhunt, you know, who's their best pitching prospect up at the top levels of the minor leagues. You've got those young pitchers who are now established. Like, those guys are going to be good, and we can start to plan our future around those guys. And even if it's just one of the two of Tyler Fitzgerald and Elliot Ramos, You've got those one or two. One of those guys says, okay, I'm a big leaguer and I'm here to stay. And Patrick Bailey is more consistent offensively to go along with his great defense. And Bryce Eldridge continues his development path. And if that happens for the Giants this year, I'm going to consider it a success, even if the veterans, you know, have some ups and downs and struggles. And even if the Giants as a team don't get ultimately to where they want to go, I think this is a foundation building year because so many of their young players now are not minor leaguers anymore. They're young big leaguers, and this franchise has to start building their championship core with that group of players. Has to.
Yeah, I want my Gunnar Henderson. I want my Bobby Ritchie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And that's how all the great teams do it. You know, all the hand-wringing and moaning about the Dodgers. But the Dodgers got this whole thing going by doing it themselves. And then they started – and, you know, then once you have a baseline of we are a playoff team, then you target those high-impact guys that you bring in, whether it's trade or signings. But they got to do it with their own guys, and they have enough of those players now where I think they can feel like we can build a core out of this group. The first steps of really establishing that, I think, have to happen this year. And, look, I don't want to put too much pressure on the young guy, but Eldridge is a difference-making kind of talent. And I love the fact that Buster's not going to – you know, the Giants are not going to push him too hard this year. They're going to push him. They're going to challenge him. But they're not demanding that he's here in July. They're going to let the development happen naturally. But if he continues on the path he's on – that is a big, big thing for this Giants franchise. Big.
There's no guarantees. We trust me. We know
none.
This. We've done this with
none.
Luciano. We've done this over and over again. I mean, I go all the way back, you know, way back in the day to the Brad Hennessys and the Correas and the Desi Wilsons and whatnot. Do you think you see him this year, Bryce Eldridge? If you had to bet, do you think we see him this year?
My bet is no. And I think it's 50-50. I mean, I think it's about even odds. But my bet is that unless, I mean, he could really force the issue where it's just like, but the kid is 20. You know, he just turned 20, and he's had a week at AAA, and a week before that at AA. Like, he's been an A-ball player, and he's 20. And so I just feel like that this level is so hard. And I think even if he's having success, I think the default should be, let's give him one more year of building confidence and learning and mashing and feeling like he's going to be totally ready for this, as opposed to the, you know, the sort of, not, it's not panic button, but as opposed to like, we got to get this guy here now. Let's prioritize him and his development and go from there. So my guess is that a full year down there and then come to spring next year and see if he's ready and really give him a real chance next year to win the job to start the year.
Hey, Dave, we really appreciate the time. You're so good to us. We can't wait to do this all season long, week away from opening day in Cincinnati. And a lot to be excited about, obviously, at the San Francisco Giants. And baseball just being back, I wanted to ask you a Masters question because we're getting close to Masters when we get the social media tweet about
the commercial.
The dinner menu from Scotty Scheffler.
What's on Dave's dinner menu? If you won the Masters, what would be your dinner menu?
There you go.
Huh. That's a really good question. I understand like these guys who sort of give a nod to their heritage or where they grew up,
right,
like regional cuisine and whatnot. You know, I grew up in Virginia.
What do they got over there, Dave? What's in Virginia? What do you guys have? Sweet tea?
I would have an Italian themed dinner, I believe. Just, if it was just based on what I like to eat, that's what I like to eat most of all. So that's what I would do, but it would be kind of strange. Like, so I'd probably feel some pressure to have some Virginia ham and some, something, a nod to the South, probably where I grew up. All these golfers like to do that as opposed to maybe what they actually would like to eat.
Dave, this is, I'll give you mine. All right, straight up.
No mass, but
you had the whole thing planned out. Huh?
I did, in my head. All right, the appetizers are going to be lumpia made by my wife's aunties. Okay.
Shout out to Philippines.
Yes, shout out to Philippines, absolutely. All right, and then we're going to go to Tam's in Pacifica, and we're going to get some pork fried rice. Got to have that.
Okay.
Got to have the fresh Dungeness crab.
Oh, okay.
Crack crab, absolutely. Okay. And you got to have some filet mignon for everyone.
Wow.
A little surf and turf. So that would be my particular meal. That's what I would have.
And I know Dave. I know Dave really is wants to know Scotty Scheffler's. So Scotty Scheffler had the Texas style chili for the first course.
Oof.
The main course is the wood fire cowboy ribeye or the blackened redfish, and that comes with a side of mac and cheese, jalapeno creamed corn, soy glazed Brussels sprouts, and chipotle lime roasted sweet potatoes. And for dessert, Dave,
Tums.
The warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with vanilla bean ice cream.
The Pazookie, that's the way to
that's
go.
That's what you need. So there you go.
I mean, it did. I saw the thing. It did look like a gut bomb. I mean, it was like the wasn't there fried ravioli on there
the
too
appetizers.
Somewhere?
Yeah, that's the appetizers.
Good God. Yep. And chili and steak and it's like, oh my God.
A lot of jalapeno there.
Lord. Dave, you're the best.
Thanks,
congratulations
Dave.
On the new contract.
That's
everything.
Awesome, man.
Giants fans love you and you're just the best. And keep doing what you're doing, man.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm not sure why that was news yesterday. I had a million text messages. I'm like, what is going on? I'm looking at my phone. I was like, huh? I don't know. Somebody asked about it or something. But anyway, thank you for saying that. And it's a great time of year. Tournament starts today.
Heck yeah.
Music about 40 seconds, I think. It comes on the air, so I'll shut up and everybody can catch a glimpse of that. And then it's opening day and the Masters all in a 2-week period. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Can't wait. Dave, thank you so much, man. We'll do it all season.
See you, bud.
Talk to you guys soon.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.